Chapter 3, The Prayer of Petition. In the literal sense, a petition is a form and written plea with legal demands. A petitioner writes according to legal guidelines and makes his request in such a way as to convince the one he is presenting his petition to. It is also defined as a solemn entreaty, a supplication or a request appealing to an authority, or an earnest or humble appeal for something or to someone. The prayer petition does entail much seriousness. It's an earnest request accompanied with a great deal of intensity. However, its effectiveness or efficacy doesn't necessarily have to do with lengthiness. You can make far-reaching impact in your world and turn circumstances around in just a few minutes through the prayer petition. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The word supplications here also means petitions or entreaties. So, put differently, Apostle Paul was instructing Timothy to make petitions a priority in his prayers. Praying according to the will of God. Another passage of Scripture that talks about petition is 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to verse 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Since praying according to the will of God is the key ingredient for success in the prayer of petition, it is important for us to understand exactly what it means to ask according to God's will. Many Christians have assumed, mostly as a result of their misconception of the Scriptures, that the reason they didn't receive answers to their prayers was because such prayers weren't in line with God's will for them. They assume God didn't want them to have what they were asking for. But this is an erroneous interpretation of God's word in the context of prayer. Let's look at the Scripture again. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15. Those who hold that mistaken notion that their prayers weren't answered because they didn't pray according to God's will fail to understand that the Holy Spirit's emphasis in this scripture isn't primarily the consistency of their request with God's will, but their exclusive privilege of having a hearing with God. Furthermore, when He tells us to ask according to God's will, He isn't talking about what we ask for, but how we ask for it. In other words, the way and manner we present our petitions ought to be consistent with God's stipulated pattern. It's important to know, therefore, how to ask the Father according to His will for asking. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. At that day you shall ask in my name. John chapter 16, verse 23 to verse 24, and verse 26. Jesus, at this instance, introduced the exclusive deal, the new, acceptable way of asking from God. When you make requests to the Father in Jesus' name, you're actually functioning in Jesus' stead. It's as though Jesus were the one making that request. You know, some religious folks consider praying directly to the Father as a sacrilege. They rather resort to intermediaries such as Mary or the apostles or some saint. Some others think the best they can attain to is to commune with Jesus, who will then intercede for them with God. But that's exactly what Jesus said He won't do. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. John chapter 16, verse 26 to verse 27. The Father doesn't need anyone to plead with Him before He does something for you or grant your request. He loves you unconditionally. And all He wants is for you to ask according to His will, in the name of Jesus, and it's yours. His will for asking, therefore, is in the name of Jesus. For further teaching on praying in the name of Jesus, get my book titled, Praying the Right Way. Earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. James chapter 5, verse 16. The prayer petition is earnest, heartfelt, and continued. Some Christians don't understand earnestness in prayer, so they miss the benefits of its impact. To be earnest means to be intent and specific in purpose, to be zealous and fervent, marked by a deep feeling of conviction. Thus, an earnest prayer is specific in purpose, filled with zeal and fervency, and marked by a deep feeling of conviction. It touches your heart and gets a hold of your emotions as you render it. Furthermore, it entails much persistence and continuance. That means you maintain your stance in a consistent manner and solemn attitude. This is the kind that makes tremendous power available, and such power is dynamic in its working. In other words, it works like dynamite. Elijah's prayer petition. Elijah is an exemplary Bible character who made petitions to God in prayer and got results. And the Bible says that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. James chapter 5 verse 17. He was like you and me, though not absolutely in the spiritual sense, because he didn't have the inherent divine nature we possess in Christ. But he was like us in the sense that the natural conditions of his time were very much like ours today. He faced the same kind of pressures we face today, and had feelings, affections, and a constitution as ours. Yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain on earth for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. James chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 18. When you read this story from the account in 1 Kings chapter 17 alone, you may not get the exact picture of how events transpired. Here's what that passage says. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. This gives us the impression that Elijah just approached King Ahab one day and told him, There will be no dew or rain on the land for 3.5 years, but according to my word, and stormed out of his palace. It would seem that he spoke a word of faith, and that was it. Well, it's true Elijah spoke in faith, but James' account in the New Testament shows us there was something behind the word of faith he spoke. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. James chapter 5, verse 17. Ever before Elijah went to Ahab to make his pronouncement, he had already spoken to God in his closet. This is something we must learn to do before making a public proclamation of our faith. If God is going to hear a man in public, he must have heard him first in private. Put differently, before a public proclamation of faith, there must first be a private dealing with the Lord. This is so vital. But sadly, many Christians don't know it. Here we see that Elijah made a bold declaration of faith that shook the king and the entire nation of Israel. But he had prayed earnestly. In his account, James doesn't tell us about Elijah's public proclamation, but he does let us know he prayed earnestly that it shouldn't rain. God heard him, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed earnestly again that the rain shall fall. And God heard him and granted his request. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Looking at this portion in isolation, one could easily assume that Elijah was somewhere just having a nice time when God said, Hey Elijah, I want to send rain. Go show yourself to Ahab and tell him it's going to rain. But James makes us understand that Elijah had prayed that there should be rain. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 was God's response to Elijah's prayer. Now, since God had already said, I will send rain, you suppose that as soon as Elijah showed himself to Ahab, the rain will start falling. It didn't turn out that way. Continue until there's a change. The Bible described Elijah's prayer as an earnest, heartfelt, and continued prayer. There was persistence in his petition. Many battles are lost because we stop too soon, instead of continuing in prayer. Many times we wait until pressures mount against us before we start praying. But at such times we end up pushing the panic buttons. We start praying fast because we want fast answers. Since we live in an age where everything happens fast, we allow the jet age syndrome to set the vitality that our prayers should convey. We have fast food, fast cars, fast airplanes, fast computers. Everything moves fast, and we want God to move at our pace. We just want to push some buttons and expect a quick response, but it doesn't work that way. Elijah knew better. He cast himself down upon the earth, put his head between his knees, and prayed earnestly with deeply involved emotions, continuing until there was a change. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42. But unlike Elijah, some Christians today aren't willing to sacrifice the time and labor required in the prayer of petition. If you're a student, you can't continue in prayer when the exam starts tomorrow morning. You knew the date for the exam. You had the time to pray and prepare. Now is the night before, and you're suddenly awakened to prayer? Think of a man whose wife has complication in labor. She's about to be taken into the intensive care unit. The man is frantically looking for prayer warriors now to join him in emergency prayers. As she's being wheeled into the surgery room, the man is also running into God's emergency ward. He wants answers right now, but he had 9 months to pray. This is the problem with many in the church today. It appears that the learning of faith has caused many to drift away from the essentials of effective prayer. So now they aren't as willing to tarry in prayer as they should. But to live an all-round victorious life in Christ, you must become spiritually adroit in both areas. Plus your faith, you must have the willingness and tenacity to continue in prayer until you have a note of victory in your spirit. When is the prayer of petition required? Petition prayer is required in situations beyond your personal control, circumstances dictated or influenced by forces beyond you. For instance, you may not want it to rain on a certain day because you're planning an outdoor event on that day. You don't have absolute jurisdiction over the rain. A farmer in the same vicinity may want it to rain, and rightly so. Such a situation requires you to pray a prayer of petition. You've got to do more than just speak the word of faith. It requires continued, earnest, and heartfelt prayer of petition. If you had a trade dispute that ended up in court or problems with the government, or issues pitting you against powers beyond you, or you have found yourself in hollow circumstances, you require the prayer of petition. In other instances, you desire something or a change outside your personal ability to control. You must pray the petition prayer.